Good afternoon! This is Kim back in the studio for Kiss and Tell. Today I'm very happy to have Evan back, and we're going to have a great show today because today I'm going to talk both on topics touched by episode 2 and 3 of the Guy Code. And the great thing today is actually Evan hasn't watched any of these shows, so that we can have an actual real honest conversation between men about some things that I saw that were just too good to pass on. Hey, Evan, say hello.
Hey.
So, Evan, how's your summer going so far?
So far, it's going good. Just getting my groove back in the studio here. It's good to be back.
Well, I'm glad you are back because without you, you know, the show just isn't the same. At least that's what some of my listeners said. And I thought I was all special and all, but they want you back.
Feedback's important.
Anyway, the Guy Code, MTV has this new show, and I know you haven't watched it, but I just wanted to bring some topics because some of these are just way too funny. To me, it's like everybody has different views on dating and on their lives, and it seems like guys are always very opinionated. And here in the last episode of the Guy Code, we talked about players. So here's a real question, you know, like every man worth their weight wants to think of himself as a player. But what is a player? You know? I mean, is a player somebody who sleeps around? Is a player who's somebody who's really social and just is surrounded by women all the time? I mean, Evan, you're a player, aren't you?
I'm kind of a player.
So what is your definition of a player?
No, I don't know. I mean, I think the word player gets a bad connotation, a bad stigma attached to it. And maybe I wouldn't quite call myself a player in the sense that, I don't know, I kind of view player as being kind of douchey a little bit, kind of slimy, or maybe somebody who doesn't really appreciate women. And I love women. I appreciate women. But I guess in my mind, the right kind of player is somebody who is good with women, somebody who is confident with women, somebody who likes to be around women and appreciates their energy and appreciates their charm and wants to have a good time and wants to give pleasure. That's a player, or at least that should be the definition of a player for me.
To me, that sounds more like a lover to me. I mean, that's what I would describe as a lover. A player, you're right. In my mind, a player does have a little bit of a slimy feel, but is it really? Because a lot of women likes to hook up with players, right? I mean, they don't want a player for the long term. Most of them don't. But when you talk about the idea of a player, at least the positive qualities of a player, meaning charming, fun-loving, easygoing, doesn't women want to be around that all the time? I mean, that's what they want. They never want the boring guy, do they? Or do they really want that nice guy who's sweet and affectionate and always tailored to their needs?
No, you're right. I mean, women say that they don't want a player, but you know, you take a look at the bar, you go to the club, and you see a lot of women with guys who kind of seem like players. So, yeah, no, of course there's something to that. I guess what I'm saying though is, you know, my approach may be a little bit more nuanced than that, and I'm okay with that.
You know, let me put it this way. At least in my book, a player is somebody who lets you sleep with a woman. That's a given. But I think he's a little bit manipulative with it. Like, you know, in the MTV Guy Code, there's a guy actually who talked about, you know, how do you save women's phone number in your number so that you're not being caught? And his idea was to save them as a guy version of their name. So if it's Brianna, it's Brian. And then the last name would be the bar that they met at. So if the bar is, you know, Sky Lounge, then it would be like Brian Sky Lounge. So to me, that's a typical player move. He's so afraid of being caught because he must have had set up some kind of web of lies, a web of half-truth, where if he's being caught, that would be very difficult for him to get out of, right?
Right. And it's funny, I mean, I have an expression from my mom, liars need bookkeepers. that's a lot of work and a lot of micromanagement, a lot of things to keep track of when you kind of spin this web of lies to keep up your player lifestyle.
But that's interesting too, because you and I, we both meet a lot of people. However, we don't really have a book of to keep track of the people that we meet. And I meet quite a bit of people, you meet quite a bit of people, yet we have no issues with that. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because I pay attention and listen and open up my mind, open up my heart, and try to connect. And I think that's the difference between, you know, the version of player that I'm talking about and the type of person that I want to be and that I am, is that I want to connect with people in any real circumstance. So I think the player is kind of somebody who just goes around and just has meaningless sex and without any type of connection. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I need to necessarily, quote, fall in love, quote unquote, to have a connection. What I'm saying is, you know, having some sort of connection makes it so much more easier to remember who somebody is rather than just getting a random name, manipulating it in your phone book, and then trying to figure out, wait, who was that person?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the great thing about this is, you know, even in coaching, you know, for a lot of guys, I actually like to tell them, like, let the lover or let the player out of you come out. Because let's be real, guys, a lot of you guys can be players or lovers or social guys or charming guys, whatever word you want to use. But you don't have to be sleazy about it. You don't have to be manipulative about it. If you have a genuine appreciation for people, I think people appreciate that, actually.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And, you know, it's not uncommon even for me to be asked, hey, are you a player? And it's in the confidence that you portray. And here's the funny thing. In the guy code, they talked a lot about the player is always a guy who's confident. And there was all these versions, right? Like the black dude on the guy code was like, man, the guy who talks to me like that raspy voice, like that NPR talk show voice, like, come on, babe, how can you want to come over? And they also mix it with a bit of sweetness. And I'm like, that is absolutely not the version of players that I want guys to be out there. I want the version of a player that guys can be, like, charming. Think George Clooney a little bit, you know? He's very charming. He's really genuine. He loves women. And women realize that he can probably get any woman that they want, but they value the time with him, because they realize that he values them. And that's a big difference between, you know, a player and a lover, I guess. I guess we can change it interchangeably, at least in my business, which you use it a little bit interchangeably. But that's a real difference right there, is can you bring out true love, true appreciation for women? Because reversely, can women be players? Can women be players? What does that mean? Does a woman who sleeps with a lot of guys a player or even a slut? You know, there's a lot of negative connotation with that word, but are women viewed negatively when they are players? And let's not use the word slut right now, because it's very controversial right now. Because on the guy side, when I say, oh man, this guy is such a player, I say it with almost respect. Because I know he's confident, he has his, at least his image, we don't know if he really has his life together, but at least this image together. And women, half women will hate it when they see, oh man, that guy is such a player. But at the same time, you can almost sense a little bit of envy for some women, because, like, well, at least I know he would be fun, right? And so many guys out there are so unfun. So let's talk about the woman version of the player. Evan, what's a playette?
Oh boy. I don't have that connotation about a woman. I mean, I think a woman, there are all sorts of women. There are good girls, there are bad girls. There are women who will sleep with a guy outside of a relationship. There are women who will have a one-night stand. There are women who only want to be in a relationship. There are women who once slept with guys, you know, that they met at the bar, and now they only will sleep with a guy who they're in a relationship with. There are all sorts of women, and I think that there's no necessarily right answer, and I do think that there probably is a bit of a double standard, and it ought not be one. And I think we need to get past this talk about double standards and just let people be and be who they're going to be.
And I really appreciate what you just said, just for the simple fact is I personally have met some women and some girlfriends of men who actually slept with a significant amount of men before me. You know, and I would ask them, it would be in the double digits, you know. And if you, depending on their age, obviously, I'd be like, wow, double digits people, right? Whether it's 10 or 20, it doesn't matter. But, well, actually, I guess it would matter for some people. But then you have to start thinking, in today's age, at least in the U.S., I don't know exactly in every other countries, but in the U.S., where we'd like to think as women as sexually liberated, where they can actually pursue their own sexuality or anything that they want for that matter, how many is too many, right? If you think about a woman in her mid-20s, and let's assume that she started at a young age to go out on dates because her family is somewhat, I won't say hippie, because that's not the right word either.
Broken.
But, you know, a family who's liberal and allows her to date at age 15. So at 15 to 25, that's 10 years worth of dating. And I'm not judging at what age she would be losing her virginity, but even if she go out with an average of two guys or even three guys a year, how many can you realistically expect her to sleep with? Now make the math, 10 years times three, that's 30 guys. Out of 30 guys that she goes out, and this is conservative, three guys a year to go out with, right? Because let's say she's not on a completely long-term relationship status yet. And I say three guys a year because it could be one guy for a year or two, and then another year was like three or four, right? So you average about three guys a year. You know, out of 30 guys, how many guys can she realistically sleep with? And if so, out of 30 guys, let's say it's only, you know, a third, right? That would be 10 guys. Now, you know, flip it back to men. Are we not the same in terms of our ability to sleep with, and you know, quite a significant amount of people? I mean, again, tailor it to your own, you know, background and culture. Some people really don't seriously date until 18 or even 22 past college, right? And sometimes they catch up and sometimes they don't. I've heard of women at 25 who've only been with three or four guys. And just as I've heard women at 25 who've been with 20 guys. So here's a question, people. How much is too much? And at what number are you actually considered a player? Because, you know, it's really hard nowadays to define what is a player and is it really good or is it really bad. And I believe right now the real truth is, what are you comfortable with? You know, what are you comfortable with in terms of your sexuality, in terms of, you know, your ability to date? And can you actually date the way you want to date? Because the truth is, I don't consider myself a player, but out of my friends, because of my ability to talk to women, my ability to actually go out if I really wanted to, they kind of consider me a player, even though I don't always go out with women all the time, but it's just the attitude that I project they give that. So, anything you wanted to say on that, Evan?
I hope that people leave it in the comment page, leave it in the comment section. That's what it's there for. Click on the button and fill out your answer.
Yep. Now, here's the other good thing that I really enjoyed about the Guy Code. They talk about things that are so ingrained in people, and they take it as absolute truth. On episode 2 of the Guy Code, they talked about traveling, why Americans need to travel more. And, you know, from a personal growth perspective, obviously everybody should travel more because America, the U.S., is so big. A lot of people don't travel outside of the U.S., but I feel like for you to grow and really know what you want to do in life, whether it's in your personal relationship or in your professional life, it's really good to see how other people live so that you appreciate what you have back at home much more. And also it gives you a different perspective on what you might value. Because I remember I met a girl who was born and raised in the U.S., never went outside of the U.S., and she was in her mid-30s at the time I met her, and she wanted to buy like $400 and $800 Yves Saint Laurent shoes, right? And mind you, she makes good enough of a living as a nurse, so she can afford it from time to time. But when I was hearing to how she was excited about that, and don't get me wrong, I love clothes, so I loved her shoes and everything else. But at the same time, I was thinking to myself, wow, $400, $800, I could go on a trip for that. you know, on a short weekend trip somewhere, you know, I mean, that would bring so much more to me than an $800 pair of shoes. So I'm not talking about traveling from a personal growth perspective, because that's a given. But we're talking here because on the Guy Code, they talk about why men should travel more, because you know what? People would want to hook up with you as soon as they find out you're American. So, Evan, do you have any experience in that by any chance?
Well, for risk of playing into the stereotype, yes, I did go to Japan. And yes, it's true that as soon as they find out that you're an American, all of a sudden you achieve some uber celebrity status. There's jokes about it, but it's actually kind of true.
And how did that make you feel, actually? Because, you know, for me, I'm Vietnamese, you know, like, if you look at me, she's totally Asian. If I go to Japan, I know that I'm not going to get any form of celebrity status.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, too bad, I guess. But, I actually kind of felt like I was cheating. And I don't know why, but I kind of just wanted to earn it on my own merits and not just because of my ethnicity. But hey, at the same time, as a buddy of mine at the time pointed out, he's like, who cares why? It's just, it is. You know, it is what it is. And take advantage if you can. And, you know, it's there for you if you go.
Now, from traveling abroad, do you feel that other ethnicity can get this kind of treatment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I think it's all relative. I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of us have a fantasy of a foreign stranger. And so, I mean, I think the same applies to a guy who goes over to Sweden and just goes crazy, you know, from just walking down the street to a college co-ed who goes to Italy and gets swept off her feet by some, you know, handsome Italian bachelor who's probably living at home and having his mom do his laundry.
You know, which is really interesting because of all the things you said, you experienced that. But I think it goes a lot with what the culture there is and also how you carry yourself. Because let's be real, you know, American people, when you go on vacation, you're more relaxed. So you allow yourself to be more open and everything else. Whereas at home, you know, maybe it's a culture in the U.S. where, I mean, I personally feel that sometimes the American culture can be a little bit too Puritan. So it translates in how we relate to one another as men to women and women to men. So there's this political correctness that kind of frames our interaction in a positive or negative light, depending on where you're from, whether you live in Texas or California. But there's all of these, you know, attached, I don't know if it's prejudice, but attached code of conduct that you may feel when you are in a different culture, aside from the fact that, hey, maybe in Japan, you know, they like that. But the interesting thing to me is I also heard the opposite of what you experienced, Evan, because I've heard from Japanese girls, because there was a time in my life where I used to go out with quite a few Japanese girls, and they would tell me they didn't like to go out with American men. I mean, they might have tried it a little bit, or they've heard of their friends go out, but they would be like, the American men are too aggressive, they lack respect for their culture or the respect for how they treat the women. And obviously, I'm sure everybody heard of this, some Japanese girls were like, and they're too big. You know, so I think it goes to say that when you go to travel, obviously you want to be aware of the cultural differences and the laws, but I think it's really more of a mindset. Your success when you go travel abroad is totally related to how you feel about yourself, because you're relaxed, you connect more, you talk more, and you allow yourself to get there. And I think that goes the same way with women, because when they go on travels, I've heard of consultants. It's not even traveling abroad, but consultants, when they go in a different city, they tend to hook up with different women or different men just for the simple fact that, hey, I know nobody's going to know, so they act more freely. So the great thing about this topic, again, is ask yourself, when you go out on a date, are you acting really freely, or are you acting as if, you know, I have to abide by how I want people to perceive me? Because even in LA, I know when I deal with a lot of guys, it's like, well, should I pay? Should I not pay? I mean, obviously, there's certain etiquette in that that dictates that. But it's also about, can you feel comfortable doing as you please, whether it's talking about anything? You know, if a lot of people, when they hang out with me and Evan and a group of friends, they'll notice that we speak very freely about a lot of things, from sex to racism to getting drunk. I mean, whatever it is, we speak very freely. And I think that's what makes our group very fun, is because there's no real prejudice. Yeah, we may be judgmental occasionally just because it creates humor. But the truth is, when you let yourself speak out, it doesn't matter where you go. And if you do that, the likelihood of you finding somebody to connect with is actually a lot higher. Now, I want to finish off on this very quick thing. And this quick thing is called a one-night stand. And before we started the show, I actually had a little debate with Evan here, man. Because we can't decide what is a one-night stand. So, Evan, what was your question again?
Well, I guess I was just trying to figure out what exactly is meant by a one-night stand. So, in my mind, the typical definition of a one-night stand is you meet somebody in a bar or a club or those are the typical places. It could be anywhere. But you meet somebody, typically at night, and then you go home to one of their apartments, and then maybe you get breakfast, but maybe you don't, and then you never see each other again. That is my mind. That's a one-night stand.
You know, I agree with the basics, the basis of your definition, but what if they start texting afterwards? Is that still considered a one-night stand? What if they see each other just for two or three times and then that's it?
See, I don't think that's a one-night stand.
Then what would you call that?
A short relationship, a fling? I would call that a fling, probably.
And what's your idea if it's somebody that you've known of? Maybe you haven't really talked. Maybe you've known of them, or you've kind of acquainted with them through, you know, for X amount of months or years. But then one day you hook up, and then that's it.
Yeah. See, that kind of crosses the definitional boundaries. I'd say if you hook up and then you never speak to them again, that might be a one night stand. But as long as you never see them again and you don't text. But if you start texting again, whether you see them or not, that's not a one-night stand. That's a fling.
Well, come on, man. Let's be, you know, doesn't everybody wants to get a second round if they get the chance? Because I know that if I'm having a one-night stand and it was good, I'm definitely contacting that girl again.
Yeah, except that that's just not one night.
But like, it starts like a one-night stand.
In the definition. Well, that's a good point, too. I mean, I guess if you intend for it to be a one-night stand, can you say that you had a one-night stand? I'm not sure about that.
See, I don't know. See, my definition of one-night stand, Evan, is a lot looser than yours. I think my version of the one-night stand is I meet a girl. I intend on sleeping with her the first time I meet her. It doesn't matter whether I've known her for a long time or been aware of her. It's like, you know what? I'm going to sleep with her. I'm going to make everything that's in my power to sleep with her, and it happens. And after that, if I don't sleep with her, that's it. But it's the intent. It's like, you know, the primary reason for me to talk to this girl is I'm going to freaking fuck you. That's my one-night stand. Like, I know I want to fuck her. I'm going to do anything that I can do to fuck her. And then if it turns into a relationship, great. If it doesn't turn to anything else, then I guess great. But that's my definition of one-night stand. So today, I don't want to really talk about how do you manage to get a one-night stand. I just want to leave it out there for you guys to really think about that. Is one-night stands all that bad? And also, if you can't get a one-night stand, why is that? Because I actually have met men and women who said, if you've never had a one-night stand in your life, then you're missing out on something. So is it a sign of maturity? Is it a sign of looking for something more? Immaturity, maybe? What is your take? So, to finish off, guys, one night stand, what does it mean? And is traveling abroad a lot easier to dating? And at the beginning, we talked about players. Are you a player, and what makes you a player? Or have you had any experience on the player? Sounds off in the comments, and make sure to leave anything else you want to discuss, because if you leave a good question, I may answer it live on the air next time. And on that, guys, it's hot out there. Get out there, get a good time before the end of summer. and I'll see you next week. There's nothing